word you've put on Esther's heart. Lord, I pray for our hearts to be fertile soil, that we would take on what you're saying to us. Lord, would you speak through Esther this morning? I thank you that you do. I thank you that you love her, Father. I thank you for this message. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence here now. In Jesus' name, amen.
There we go. I have learnt, it's only taken me a few years, to find the mute button. Thank you, Guy. So we are, as Guy just said, we're continuing with our Come Dine With Me series, and that is both in our small group program, where we're just inviting friends, family, people that we are getting to know, our neighbours, to share a meal together and to just extend and express that love of Jesus that is so powerful. So that's happening in the week. And on Sundays, we're looking at the stories that Jesus shared as he gathered his friends together and ate with them. And today, I want us to look at a story that we can find in Luke 14. It's the story of Jesus. He's been invited to a prominent Pharisee's house. We're going to be picking up this story halfway through, so I just want to give you a bit of context, just so you can understand the atmosphere that had been created as we launch in at verse 15 in a moment. It was a Sabbath day. Jesus had been invited to this prominent Pharisee's house, and we know in the second verse in that they were watching him very carefully. The Jews were watching Jesus carefully. So again, this is another opportunity that the Jews created in order to try and trick or trap Jesus, this man who claimed to be their Messiah, the Son of God. And they bring in a man with dropsy, a condition, really uncomfortable condition where dangerous fluid builds up in the tissues of the body, causing swelling and a lot of pain. This poor man, he wasn't even invited to eat with the Pharisees. He was just brought in to stand before Jesus. It was a Sabbath. In front of Jesus was a man with a condition who was in a lot of pain. What was Jesus going to do? That's exactly the context that the Jews created. And he looks to the Jews, his fellow Jews, and he says to them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And there's a silence. It's not an awkward silence. It's not an ignorant silence. They know exactly what they're doing. It's premeditated. They would have met together beforehand, and they would have said, if he asks us what to do, we say nothing. We keep quiet. Let's see what he's going to do. And Jesus does what he does best. He heals the man and he releases him to go back out of this really extremely awkward situation. And off the man goes. And Jesus then just, I think he leans against a wall. In my head, he leans against the wall. And he just observes people getting ready to sit at the table. And he observes the interaction and the hustle and bustle as people work the room in order to get the best seat at the table. Maybe you've been in that situation where you've been invited to a dinner party, out for a meal, and you're just scanning those that have been invited, and you're just thinking, I need to be as far away from that person and as close to this person. Maybe we've all been there. Maybe it's just me. That's what was happening, and Jesus saw like the body language, and he saw the intent behind it all. And so he goes on to not only cause offence. He wasn't choosing to cause offence, it's just how it was received, to both the guests and also to the host. To the guests, he says, you know, when you go to a dinner party, don't sit at the best seat at the table. How embarrassing would it be if someone more important than you shows up and the host looks at you and says, sorry, this actually wasn't for you, this chair. Can you move yourself on? And then you have to go all the way around everybody and sit in the worst seat at the table. Instead, choose the lowest position that you might be seen and then brought forward and asked to come and sit by the host. And then he goes on and he says to the host, in fact, Mr. Host, Mr. Prominent Pharisee, your guest list is all wrong. You've invited the rich, you've invited friends and family. Those who you know will return the favour, will return the hospitality. Instead, you should invite the blind and the poor, the lame and the crippled, those who can't repay you. That's the situation. Here we're going to pick up in verse 15 to see what happens next. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" So back to the scene. There was a certain man around that table who leaned in and he spoke up. And he almost dismissed the two challenges that Jesus had just said. And he said, "Blessed is he who will feast in the kingdom of God." What that showed was there was this assumption, there was this spirit of entitlement that Jesus had been tapping into. You might be Jewish by birth, but unless you receive this invitation, unless you receive me, Jesus, your Messiah, who you're rejecting right now, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The parable itself starts with a certain man was preparing a great banquet. Many were invited. This certain man is Father God. Jesus is telling a story about his own father. Father God has been preparing a great banquet, and many were invited. The banquet wasn't even ready, and people were invited. That invitation went out. It was first revealed to Abraham. God promised him, he made a covenant with Abraham back in the Old Testament, "You will be the father to many." And then throughout the Old Testament, that invitation, that first invitation is given to the Jews. "Come to my banquet table. Come and meet the Messiah." It went out through the different prophets in the Old Testament. In Isaiah, he writes, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people. A banquet of aged wine, the best meats, and the finest of wines." Wine is referred to twice in one sentence. It's going to be a good feast. The Jews were the first invited. They're the ones that God intended to be at the table. And as they understood and as they studied scripture, their hearts were full of joy. "Yes, one day we will be with you. We will feast with you. Yes. Receive my RSVP, I will be there. I will be there." Anyway, the day of the banquet arrives. Everything is ready. And so the host sends out his servant to go out and to say to people, "Come, everything is now ready." That second invitation went out through the voice, through the man, John the Baptist. He was the servant that is referred to here. God said to him, come, tell them that everything is ready. Jesus, the Messiah, was finally here, and it was John's job to go and tell the Jews, the Saviour, the Messiah is here. What an amazing job. He was just a man in the wilderness. Huge, grubby beard, and he wore suspicious-type clothing, itchy stuff. God chose him to be the forerunner, to announce to the world, the banquet is ready. Everything is ready. I just want to pick up on that word, everything. This isn't just the glasses are glistening and the cutlery's clean and we've scraped off the dried food off the plates. Everything is ready. Everything pertaining to life is now ready. Why is it now ready? Because Jesus, he lived, he died, he rose again. Everything is now complete. Everything that equates to life itself can be found at this table. Now you need to come and enjoy it. You need to come and receive. And one by one, the excuses came. They're called excuses in the Bible. But I wonder whether they're excuses or whether they're idols. The field. I mean, there's foolishness both ways. The man that bought the field, he hadn't even seen the field. He had bought the field, and then that evening, rather conveniently, he needed to stand in that field all night and look at the field. I've bought a field and I need to look at it. You don't buy property, or I guess you shouldn't buy property without checking it out first. The second man, he's bought his workforce, his power force, those 5 yoke of oxen, and he needs to go and try it out. That's just crazy. If you're a farmer and you need a John Deere tractor, surely you check that it works before you invest in it. And the guy that has just got married, he needs to spend some time with his wife. We'll go no further there. But those things are not sinful in their own right. The property, the acquisitions, the work, family, children, husbands, wives. But they were put in a place of higher esteem than Jesus. Therefore, they were becoming idols. And so the servant returns back to the father, back to the host, and he says, they're not coming. And the host goes from this posture of warm and excited anticipation as he looks over the table, as he looks at the seats, knowing who's going to fill them. He knows that that his children, the Jews, had said yes. But actually, Jesus didn't match up. Jesus wasn't the saviour that they thought he would be. He wasn't the Messiah. And so they've used these excuses, but actually, in saying no, they've not only rejected Jesus, they've excluded themselves from the kingdom of heaven. We can't contribute anything because everything was there. There's nothing that we can bring. But as we reject Jesus, we exclude ourselves from the table. And so the host, from being joyful and full of excitement and anticipation, I just imagine his fists going down at the end of the table as he grows angry and upset and disappointed. And he says to the servant, then go to the streets and the alleys and gather my children that they might come and feast with me. The streets and alleys, that's going beyond the notice and the functions of the Jewish priesthood. It's going beyond the place where Jewish community took place, where the activity happened. In other words, go to where the Gentiles are. Go to the edges. Gather the Gentiles. They will come. And the servant who the host knew was going to obey went out and gathered the Gentiles and brought them in. And he said, I've done what you've asked, but there's still space. And we see a shift now. The, there's still room at the table. And so the host, he says, then go to the highways and the hedges. You might think that's a little bit bizarre. What are the highways and the hedges? Those with no homes. Go beyond where the Gentiles are. Go out where the rejected are. Go to where the murderers are and the thieves, to the prostitutes, to those caught in adultery. Go to those that have the most revolting and crippling disfigurements, who have been rejected, by Jewish and Gentiles alike. And there's a word here that just changes everything. It wasn't used for the first invitation or the second. It's used now to those on the edge, the untouchables of society, those that are hiding in the hedges, hiding in fear, hiding in shame. He says, go out and compel them to come. Compel them to come. In some translations, it says, and make them come. What he's saying is, I want you to go, and I want you to grab them by the hand, and I want you to love them all the way back to my son Jesus, all the way back to the table. It's not forcing them by the ankles and dragging them. That's not what this is about. That word compel them to come, is what we were singing about, through the powerful force of the love of Jesus. That's how we are to compel people into the kingdom. Don't think about sharing the love of Jesus as anything weak. It is so powerful. It's so life-giving. The Father wanted his children at the table, and he says, my table will be full. In Matthew 11, verse 12, it says, it picks up from John the Baptist, the one that gave that second invitation. It says, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the 22nd of October, 2017, this is the present day, this is the now, the kingdom of heaven has forcefully advanced and the strong take it by force. Jess was talking about that illustration of the father just enfolding and forcing the child still through love. Compelled by love, not anger. I just believe that the Lord just wants us to wake up again to this instruction, to go to where it is physically uncomfortable, go to where it is emotionally uncomfortable, find those that are lost, that are broken, that have been rejected, and compel them back to Jesus. Compel them to the table. I believe there might be people here today who haven't heard that invitation, who haven't felt welcome to respond to Jesus. And if that's you, then today might be that day that you actually say yes. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again. And I just want more of him in my life. I want what this looks like, and I want to be sat at that table. I want one of those seats. And for some of you, it might just be that the Lord is just very gently turning you back to his son Jesus, because you've struggled on your own. Maybe the things that you've been given, that God gave you to enjoy, have become so important, they've become a heavy burden to carry. And you've turned it into an idol without even realizing it. Thinking about these things all the time, rather than committing them to Jesus. I also have a sense that the Lord wants to just release a greater level of wisdom and insight this morning in his presence. That's just an aside, but I just want you to be aware of it. You might be thinking particularly about an issue or a relationship, or you've been seeking God's wisdom. I feel he just wants to dispense that this morning. But I want to close with something that is really special. I've been carrying this for a number of months now. On the 16th of April, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was stood at the back of what appeared to be a very different church to this. But the people in the church were exactly the same. And on the stage, there was a huge, great woman with massive, big, frizzy hair. Don't say a word. And And she started to speak, and it was the end of the service, and people were leaving, but there were a number of you who waited, and you were just like this. The worship had stopped. There was no reason except that you were expecting something more. And this woman started speaking, and in the dream she was saying, "Come, come all you desperate, come all who are hungry, come all who are thirsty." Anyway, God woke me up and he said, "I need you to write this down." And so I was walking downstairs with my phone and I was just trying to remember what she said, because it felt it was that important. With every sentence that I finished, God gave me the next line. And this is something that he's given to us as a church. And I shared it a number of months ago, right at the end of a service during ministry time. And I felt, even when I was giving it, that it wasn't the right time, that God hadn't actually given me permission to share it. But as I was preparing today and just going over those words, "Come, the banquet is ready. Everything is now ready. Come." It's a personal invitation. We have to personally walk back to the table. And as I read this, I think it might be for two different groups of people that I mentioned earlier. Those that just want to respond to salvation, that want new life, and those that just feel that they've just taken their eyes off the Saviour. They've taken their eyes off Jesus. You might just want to close your eyes or open up your hands. Come, all you desperate, hungry, thirsty, weeping ones. Come, all the many, many, many broken hearts. Come, all you analysts looking for the proof. Come, all you doubters, in your pain, I am the truth. Come, faithful giver of your time, your sweat and tears. Come, all who anguish, for my foot will crush your fears. Come, perfect stranger, that's a lie, for you are known. And you are loved and you're accepted and were created as my own. Come, weary mother, in your waiting you can run. And I will hold you as I whisper to your daughter and your son. Come, all with secrets, put your masks upon the floor. I can see beyond them anyway to hearts that need much more. Come, you jealous, greedy, bitter, angry, hating soul. Come and run to purpose, find your treasure, hold your gold. Come, quiet giver of everything you own, place the cross, the crown that you wear at the foot of the throne. Come, faithful lovers, it's not been without its pain. Let me hold you in my arms and refresh you like the rain. Come with guilt and shame and the sins with filthy names. I was tortured for your freedom so that you could thrive again. Come, disappointed one, I've appointed you for more, and I will show you as I hold you that the fight's worth fighting for. I died to sin once and never again. Defeating the cross, its life I proclaim. Every shade of your sin, I saw it, I bore it, I wore it and felt it, exhaled it and smashed it. I am alive, victorious, justified and glorious, righteous and conquering, and in all things honouring. You have not lingered long enough, or searched my heart deep enough, sat at my table and fed enough, or met at the well and drank enough. Come, I am here. I'll never reject you. I'll never turn you away, condemn or discard you, but come. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that just brings revelation and reminds us of everything that we have in store. But there is so much for today. For the brokenhearted among us, you are the comforter. For those in pain, you are healer. those that are guilty, you went to the cross that we might be free. And you invite us now. We invite you, Spirit of God, just to open our hearts to what you're doing now. And we just turn to you again, Jesus. We thank you for conviction. We thank you that it's all part of your transforming plan for our lives, for our souls and our hearts.